Headaches are a very common ailment, but sometimes people struggle to find the right diagnosis and treatment. And that's especially true of a particularly severe type of headache caused by a leak of spinal fluid. Norman Swan is covering this story on the Health Report this afternoon. Good morning to you, Norman.
Hi, Hamish.
Anyone with a headache this morning will be a little bit worried when they hear about this. What are we talking about?
We're talking about a type of headache. Some people find it hard to have their headache diagnosed. Even migraine can be difficult to diagnose, where it's a throbby headache, one-sided, tend to be associated with nausea and other symptoms. But there's a form of headache, probably in a small group of people, where the headache is featured by when you're lying down, you don't have it. And when you sit up or stand up, you do have it. It comes on.
And could also be a hangover.
It could be. Well, in fact, there is an overlap between hangover headaches and this, because hangover headaches are caused by dehydration. Not entirely, but partly caused by dehydration, which means the brain shrinks a little bit. And that's so the fall in pressure when you sit up is actually the same thing that happens in this headache. So, in fact, quite a perceptive comment. Dr. Hamish there.
Perceptive, or maybe just had a long weekend.
So what happens here, but it's not just headaches that you get with sitting up. You can get vertigo, a sense of spinning and dizziness. You can get tinnitus. There are other weird symptoms that you can get with this and can be very and difficult to pick up. And it turns out that in a proportion of these people, what's happened is that in their spinal column, the fluid that circulates around the brain is leaking. There's quite a tough membrane that surrounds the brain and spinal cord called the dura. And in some people, this can become weakened for some reason. Maybe they're born with it, other infection or something else. Sometimes it's trauma, but in these people, it's not traumatic. And the fluid simply leaks out from the closed circuit of the brain and spinal column into the tissues of the body. The pressure which kind of supports the brain and spinal cord goes down, and the brain shrinks and starts to tug against the dura in the brain, and that's where the nerve cells are that produce painful stimuli and causing the headache. And it's often missed, but it's not easy to diagnose. An MRI of the brain is often done, but that can be normal. You can find sometimes signs that the pressure's down, but you've got to have an MRI of the spinal cord, often with contrast injected to see if you can find the leak, but only after you've had a proper assessment from a neurologist. So we're covering this tonight. I mean, it's under-recognized. Neurologists don't see a lot of it, but it's worth knowing about.
And what's the treatment?
The treatment is a patch. And the patch can come in various forms. Crudely, if you really do believe it's a spinal leak, you can't see where the leak is. Some people actually inject, people have had their breakfast by now, blood into the epidural space to actually create a physical patch that way. You can actually inject fibrin, which is like a plug that can go in, or you can have a neurosurgical technique to actually physically patch it. So it is possible to do. It can come back. But a lot of people do get relief when it's properly treated.
I mean, if you have a headache this morning, you don't need to run off to the doctor and
you do not
ask if you've got this.
If you've had a hard weekend like you have, Hamish.
On the Health Report this afternoon, you're also going to discuss...
I see you're still standing.
Only just. Some surprising new findings on the risks associated with a particular form of heart valve damage. What?
This is the aortic valve. It's the exit valve from the heart. And it can become narrowed for various reasons. You can be born with a narrowed aortic valve. If you've had rheumatic fever, particularly in Aboriginal communities, that can cause damage, which can eventually narrow the aortic valve. Or simply with age, the calcium builds up on it and it doesn't work that well. So this is where the heart pumps and it's blood going around the rest of your body into your brain and, in fact, into the rest of your heart itself. And what happens when you have aortic stenosis, you can get symptoms like faintness, you can feel faint, you can dizzy, you can get chest pain on exertion, and symptoms like that. Some people don't get any symptoms. People tend to get treated for this if they've got symptoms. But we have in Australia the largest study ever of ultrasounds of the heart, echocardiograms, following people through to see how they go in life when they've got certain abnormalities of the heart. And this has just been reported for aortic stenosis. And what they've found is, irrespective of symptoms, if you have severe aortic stenosis, your chances of dying in the next 5 years are 65%.
Oh.
And with moderate aortic stenosis, it's nearly 60% chance of dying in the next 5 years. So this is not a condition to actually relax about, not that necessarily people do, but doctors have tended to focus on your symptoms and how much it's affecting your life. But in fact, the aortic stenosis itself can be the problem.
Hey, we've got to go, but I just wanted to ask you, we had the editor of the British Medical Journal on the other day who's been campaigning against overdiagnosis, and she said something that really upset people about...
She didn't have breast screening.
Breast screenings.
Yeah.
People got very upset at the mere mention of that. Is there much currency to the sorts of stuff that she's talking about?
Yeah, there is a lot of currency to what she's talking about. And I mean, I think she's taken a brave decision not to have breast screening herself. That's a pretty out there decision to do. But the reality is that when women have breast screening, they need to know that in a percentage of cases, when they find a lump, it's not necessarily going to kill them, and the treatment is not necessarily that obvious. And it's true that the statistics in terms of improved mortality have not been tightly linked to screening itself, more to improvements in treatment. So the whole area is controversial. But what has also not been shown, and she talked about it there, well, you'd find the lump in the shower, I think is what Fiona said. Well, there's no evidence that breast self-examination reduces mortality either. So... If I was a woman, I'd be having my breast screening, but I'd understand what the implications are in terms of overdiagnosis. It's exactly the same with men and prostate cancer.
Norman Swan, thank you very much.
You're welcome.
The Health Report on RN at 5:30 this afternoon.